Somebody texts in, why is Hawk on this show? He's such an idiot in defending McDaniel and Tua. I text him back. It's literally my show. It's like, I don't know, going to see Henry Rollins in concert. And you go, why is Henry Rollins singing? You know, well, it's the Henry Rollins concert.
I happen to agree with the texter.
I'm having some internet connectivity problems. I hope it sounds good on the air still, but I'm just preparing you. Crowder is about 5-10 minutes out from joining the show from New York or Philly, wherever he is today, and I'm having some connectivity problems, so I hope it sticks around. If not, Solana and Jimmy will be here, and then that texter will get his wish. I won't be on the show. Why is Hawk on the show? I don't know. It's my show. Where do you want me to go? What else to do? But I don't think it's unfounded to go, McDaniel and Tua have been a good combo in the NFL. Like, that's crazy if you don't think so. Go back and look. And again, the outcomes of last season, the season before, were not what you wanted it to be. I get it. That doesn't mean that they're not a good combo. Headed on the right track, I believe. But I think Mike McDaniel's a good head coach when Tua is there to run his offense. And you've seen this offense without Tua. And if that doesn't show you how good Tua is and how perfectly suited he is for this offense, then I don't know what you're watching. Conversation before the season was Tua, Tyreek getting 2,000 yards receiving. That's because Tua was the quarterback. So, like, yeah, if you can watch the last two seasons and then the first six games of this season, and your take is that Tua stinks and that Mike McDaniel's a terrible head coach, like, that's just wrong. Again, the outcome is not where I'd like it to be, not where the Dolphins want it to be, not where the team wants it to be. But you can't argue that when Tua is healthy and the offensive line is healthy and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle are out there, you can't tell me that this offense doesn't hum. It does.
It does. And they made two straight postseasons with Mike McDaniel, bad head coaches.
When's the last time that happened, by the way?
Very, very long time, literally since 2000. Bad head coaches don't do that with bad teams, right? Like, they just don't. But Hawk, at a certain point, they had to be able to improve at the end of the year. And you gave them the first year, okay, Tua was hurt. The second year, all right, fine. It was the second year. This year had to be, in my opinion, that year where McDaniel and Tua both proved that they can cross that line that needs to be crossed by this team. And as of right now, worst case scenario with Tua, couldn't stay healthy.
But Tua hasn't been out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah. And I'm with you, but I also think there's a bigger problem, which is you're building around a guy in Tua Tagovailoa who has not proven.
That's
right. It's a different conversation.
Completely different argument. I'm just arguing with what the texter says, that he's essentially saying Mike McDaniel and Tua stink.
Yeah.
And I'm saying you just can't say that. Sorry. You cannot say that. Quantifiably, you can't say that.
But I think, to your point a couple weeks ago, we are learning very quickly who needed who more. I think that is also a factual statement, because I was always under the impression Tua needed Mike McDaniel, and he did, right? It's a two-way street. But Mike McDaniel clearly needed Tua Tagovailoa more.
Yes.
Because Tua had those
more
skills.
Symbiotic. We thought that, yeah, it was kind of equal parts, and now it's kind of more like McDaniel might need Tua a little more than Tua needs McDaniel.
I am way more down on McDaniel after these four games than I was the previous two seasons, because even last year, to me, it was more Tua and the personnel, not Mike McDaniel, even though he had his shortcomings too against good teams. To me, it was more Tua and the personnel. But these four games, Hawk, have kind of proven to me, and I hate to say it, but he seems like a one-trick pony. in the sense that he needs Tua and he needs the offense he built around Tua to hum. And if it's not humming and Tua's not there,
yeah, he's stuck.
As OG said, he has no other options. He has no ability to adjust. That is scary, by the way. That is a scary option moving forward.
Agreed. But the same thing that you said about the Heat. If Jimmy and Bam and Tyler and Terry Rozier can play a number of minutes together, healthy, maybe this season is what Pat Riley envisions. But the moment you take a link out of that chain, it's probably going to look something different than what they intended. And that's the reality.
But to your point, okay, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe Jimmy, Bam, Tyler, and Terry, healthy, on the floor together, are at the very least a competitive team against any team in the East. Are they better than them? I don't know, but they're competitive. And the Dolphins, with Tua healthy and with the offensive line healthy, Hawk, and Mike McDaniel on the sidelines, have not proven enough to me that they can compete with the teams they need to compete with to go win a Super Bowl, which was my concern before Tua got hurt. So I still haven't seen it. 1-6 against playoff teams. Every time they're in primetime, they stink. And every time the season is in December or January, they stink. That matters.
Again, that's quantifiable, and yeah. I can't argue it. Yeah. Like, that is quantifiable. I can't argue it.
But I thought he deserved the benefit of the doubt this year. Like, okay, those are your first 2 years. Third year, like, let's go see it. It's just, you know, Tua hasn't been out there.
Tua's played 6 quarters. Yeah. Like, you know, reserve a little bit of judgment, Texter. Like, you might be right. But I got to see 4 or 5 games now with Tua and determine if this team has just become a dumpster fire or if they were missing their most important piece and it would make sense that there was a huge drop-off. Let's get headlines. Your dad's not going to join us this week, right? He's in Uruguay and he can't join us.
So before he left on his flight, I called him. I said, Papi, are you coming on the show this week? He said, 100%. I'll be there. I took my iPad. I said, okay. And I texted him this morning as I sent you the text. He said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And then he sent a picture to my family group chat of him eating literally a tray filled with just different types of meats. So
yeah, he's in a meat coma in Uruguay. Yeah. He has no time to make picks for us. Let's get headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
How about this? I'm just reading some comments. Tyreek Hill speaking to the media. Marcel Louis Jacques posts a picture of Tyreek. He said, it was so beautiful having Tua back in the huddle today that, quote, it almost made me cry.
Also, having Tim Boyle in the huddle probably made Tyreek cry. Different type of cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm reading here. It was great to hear Tua's voice. It's great to have him back. Alec Ingold on Tua returning from Joe Shad. It was great to hear his voice. Things were moving pretty good today. We don't want to put everything on his plate.
Also, Alec Ingold said, there go the end of my deep balls.
How about this from Cam Wolf? The Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, that is, the NFL team, they plan to start Bryce Young on Sunday. Now,
Andy Dalton got in a car accident.
Right, right. This isn't a happy story. Andy Dalton won't practice, got in a car accident. He has a sprained thumb.
I mean, it's not a sad story. He had a sprained thumb.
Well, I said it's not a happy story. Poor guy got in an accident, Hawk. I mean, that kind of sucks.
Sure, you know.
But my guy Bryce Young's back, baby. Let's go.
All right. Let's go. Bet the house against the Panthers. Who they play?
Bryce Young overs all week. They're playing the Broncos.
Oh, I'm betting Denver.
Talk about a QB matchup, baby. Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is going to look like Peyton Manning compared to Bryce Young.
How do you sprain your thumb in a car accident? Like your hands are on the wheel, I guess, right? Is that's the only way I can think of spraining your thumb.
Let me see what the line is there. Denver's a 9-point favorite now over Carolina.
Wow. Couple players not spotted at practice. That list does not include Uno. But Tron Armstead, Calais Campbell, Cater Kohu, Storm Duck, and we all know Tyler Huntley. Mike McDaniel said earlier today he's probably not going to be available to back up Tua Tagovailoa.
Somebody tweets at me, what have McDaniel and Tua accomplished? They made the postseason, two seasons in a row. Their first two seasons together. That's an accomplishment. I'm grading on the curve for what the Dolphins have been before those two were together and now after. Listen, if you're Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, is just making the playoffs enough? No. But if you're the Dolphins and you make the postseason two seasons in a row, the first two seasons that McDaniel and Tua are combined, I think they've accomplished something.
It's silly to suggest otherwise. I've been a big of a detractor on Tua and McDaniel, maybe as anybody, but it's silly to say that they haven't accomplished anything.
I mean,
given our history in Miami,
we've watched coach quarterback combos that are Joe Philbin and I don't even know who the quarterback was. Chad Henne. I don't know who it was.
It was Tanny with Philbin. Remember, he wouldn't.
A little better without him.
Joe Philbin would not name Ryan Tannehill the starter week after week. Like, he refused to name.
He had to earn it every week.
Right. I'm watching Tua throw some passes. All the different beat reporters, Fiorones, Cam Wolf, Joe Shad, Adam Beasley. They all have Mike Cunio as well. They all have footage of Tua Tagovailoa throwing some passes at Dolphins practice today. If you want to wet your beak a little bit and get hyped up for Sunday, the Miami Dolphins and the Arizona Cardinals at Hard Rock Stadium.
Welcome back, number one. Look, Crowder is signing in from a Bonvoy in parts unknown.
Mount Laurel.
Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Yes. One restaurant.
Wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat.
Hey.
Let me guess. So we already let the cat out of the bag. You interviewed Seth Rollins.
Yes.
No one knows who that is. But most of the wrestlers, Jimmy was very upset at me for saying that. let me do the, you know, who wants to be a millionaire thinking it through. All the wrestlers live in Tampa. So in order to connect somehow with Seth Rollins, you wore a Bucks hat.
Okay, there's two reasons. One, because I'm pandering and being full of crap like I usually am. Or the second is I had a shirt I had to wear and the Bucks hat matched it.
Just
matched. Yeah, I probably wouldn't wear it after they get their butt kicked the other night, but it matched my shirt.
Fair enough.
You're turning into
Assalamu alaikum, Salam.
Say wa alaikum assalam.
What a great line. If anybody could watch the video, he does. Look, he looks like a Nation of Islam. Look, he's got the tight white shirt and a tie, and it is perfectly straight with the tie clip. And that is funny.
He transitioned to people this morning.
Anybody who sees Solana tonight at the Kaseya Center, please walk up to him and say, Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, Solana, love you.
That's funny.
So what, you're just turning into Fred Taylor now? You have a bunch of different hats. You color coordinate your hats now.
Yeah, it makes it easy. I don't have to get my hair done. I just throw this hat on. Yeah, man.
Funny.
All right, guys. So Tua's back at practice. Tyreek Hill's emotional about it. Those are your Dolphins updates. We'll get our injury report a little bit later on.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for this moment all day. Channing Crowder, welcome back. What are your thoughts on Bronny James in his NBA debut?
Two wasted possessions. Let's run a pick and roll with the best player that ever lived and this little boy over here with braids hanging down. Let him get a three up. Clank.
Have you seen the, is it Fruit Loops, the commercial? Have you seen the LeBron Bronny commercial?
No. What is it?
Oh, my God. It is. It's great. Is it Fruit Loops, Jimmy?
It's Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles.
Can you Bronny, seen it? Can Bronny pour the cereal in the bowl? Does he miss the bowl really when he pours the cereal?
It's really funny. I got to send it to you. My son had sent it to me on IG, and I laughed out loud, and I very rarely do that. But LeBron, and I know you're not crazy about him, happens to be an excellent actor.
Oh, yeah, I saw in that Kevin Hart gambling commercial, he's a great actor.
He's good in those commercials. But in the movie with Amy Schumer, he's very good in that movie.
He was terrible in Trainwreck.
No, he was very good in that.
Hawk, you think people are good if they play themselves.
No, that's not true, because he was playing a caricaturized version of himself. Again, not as good as Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems. I'm with you there. But LeBron in Trainwreck is very good acting.
Terrible acting.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, Minnesota was terrified by the Bronny edition. Code red. They got the game player in. Game make, come on.
But at least they got all that stuff out of the way.
Yes. Yeah.
They got it out of the way. Hey. Now you don't have, now who's the coach?
Reddick.
J.J. Reddick.
J.J. Reddick. He doesn't have to worry about that continually. Like, checked them in together. Like you said, he ran a pick and roll for him. He missed the shot. It would have been nice. But like J.J. Reddick's like, okay, I think I did my part. Now I'm going to go coach winning games.
And Bronny should be on the way to Thailand to play for some team over there. Let's get this out of our system. But no, and I know I'm joking. And honestly, basketball-wise, he couldn't hit the shot. Bronny couldn't hit the shot. They were trying to make it that cool moment on the court.
And it would have been.
But it did. I'm not going to lie. And you know, I respect the hell out of LeBron James. From this standpoint of that moment, him with his son, and then he brought it up. It was his daughter's birthday. The entire family was there. He's the oldest. His two younger brothers and his daughter and their sister watched Bronny train with LeBron for all those years. And to see that work come together and daddy and in our brother on the court together as a man, as a husband, as a father, like that was cool to watch, even though it was a waste of two possessions.
Speaking of father, son, I got to tell everybody this story. I was waiting for Crowder to get on. So last night I'm at the Panthers game. The reason that I had the suite last night, I got a text, you know, Ira Winderman's son, Jake Winderman, was an intern of ours years ago. And now he's a successful kid. He's working at CBS Interactive, CBS Sports Interactive, and he's doing very well. He's got a longtime girlfriend. They have an apartment in Boca. Like, he had texted me, Jake Winderman, can you get me tickets for the Panthers game? This is yesterday. So I got the suite. I said, I'll do you one better. I'll get the suite. I'm going to come to the game with Lori. And Pell's going to bring his wife. And I said, I'm going to invite your dad and your mom. So I invite Ira and his wife. And so we're in the suite last night. This is so unbelievable. This was such a smack in the face because I consider Ira to be a friend, even though he's not allowed on our show anymore, because he's got to deal with Big O. Big O's got his YouTube channel, his broadcast or whatever. And so Ira, we can't pay him. So Ira doesn't come out with us. I totally respect that. Go get your money. Like, I'm good with that. It's one of the reasons David Fironis doesn't come out with us and Safed Dean. But we're in the suite. I consider Ira a friend. We go to dinner, my wife and I, with him and his wife, at least once a year, usually before the season. So now we're in the suite. I take a picture. It's me, Ira, Jake, Appel, the ticket wizard, Roy Bellamy is with us. And I go, hey, this is going to be a great media, sports media picture, I say in air quotes. But I take the picture, I tweet it out, I tag everyone on it, including Ira. And I say, Ira, retweet that. You never retweet anything of mine. I go, you don't respond to anything, you never. And he's like, I don't even know if I follow you. You know, like, you know, he's like, I'm very, you know, casual. So Jake, his son, takes Ira's phone, goes, I'm going to make sure that he follows you. And he's down on Twitter, and he looks up, and he goes, he has you muted. He does follow you. He has you muted. Now, do you know the level of dislike you have to reach to mute someone?
Yeah.
Because I rarely get there. But when I do, it's because my level of dislike for that person or that person's opinions have just gotten me to a place where I don't want to hear a peep from them anymore.
Yeah.
So now Ira, who, you know, is playing lackadaisical, oh, I don't know if I follow you or not. So now I come to realize, because I've tagged him on things throughout the years, and there's nary a word that comes from him. And usually I can goad him into things.
Yes.
So I'm like hit with a ton of bricks. I go, my friend, the guy who's in the suite at my invitation has me muted on Twitter. That's one of the biggest signs of disrespect, right? I mean, that's a huge sign of disrespect to mute someone that is ostensibly your friend.
But Hawk, you're saying you're taking it on your side. Maybe it's a sign of he wants his mental health on his side.
Correct. Then turn down the suite invitation. And turn down the suite invitation.
If you're muted, you can't take a ticket from me, huh?
I mean, if you're muting someone, so now I don't care. I thought it was great because it was fun content. But now Ira feels bad. I could tell. Like, this is bothering him in the suite because you know me. I might have overreacted a little bit when I found out this information. So now a couple things. Talk about father-son dynamic. Ira is shooting daggers at Jake. I can see it in the suite.
Yeah.
And so I say, hey, listen, Ira, Jake, I go, Jake, your dad is going to call you later tonight. He is going to tear your ass apart for looking at that phone and audibly saying he has you muted instead of just unmuting him. I said, Ira, don't do that to Jake.
Yeah.
Because Jake, he's funny. Hey, he's muted. But I know Ira was like, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You should have just unmuted him. Now look at how you've made me look in front of him. But now Ira feels bad. So he sends out a tweet. He's got over 100,000 followers. Sends out a tweet. I highly recommend you follow at Mark Hockman on Twitter. The follows start piling up. I mean, hundreds at a time. Because everyone thinks I'm a Heat insider. He didn't make any kind of joke about it. Oh. It's just Ira the day before the season saying, I highly suggest you follow this guy. So now I have all these new followers who are going to be inundated with should a pickle be next to your sandwich tweets.
He just got you muted by a bunch of people.
So I said, Ira, you got to give me some info. You got to give me some NBA info so I can satiate all my new listeners, all my new followers who have just discovered me thanks to your tweet. He's like, I'm not giving you anything. I gave you that tweet.
That was nice of Ira. Don't feel bad, Ira. In this situation, Hawk, the culprit is Jake. Jake's the problem in this situation.
Jake should have shown a better governor saying, hey, Dad, you had him muted, like casually to Ira only.
You say to Ira, you never retweet me. Ira has his phone. You have your phone. Ira, I'm sure he said something like, oh, ha-ha, you know, just laughed it off. Jake dives in the situation to snatch Ira's phone to find your status on his Twitter. Jake, what are you doing? Go watch the damn ice hockey game. Go play with your girlfriend. Do something else. I love Jake. Jake worked with me. Jake's a good kid, but Jake's the problem.
Hmm.
Hawk, what about the people you see randomly after years and they say, hey, Hawk, I text you a couple months ago, and you just kind of make that noise and be like,
They're not my friends. But Ira's a friend.
But what if they could then grab your phone and put their number in and see if you got their text?
Yeah, but they're not friends.
That's not fair.
Ira and I have a relationship.
Well, not as close as you thought.
Well, obviously, I was hit with a ton of bricks. Because to me, that's the utmost in I'm not interested in a thing you have to say. You know what I mean? Because there's no gray area in muting. It's I want to hear what you have to say, or I absolutely want to go the rest of my life without being bombarded with your thoughts.
And I'm doing it sneakily because I could unfollow you.
Correct.
But now you can see it. So he wants to keep the friendship together, but he doesn't want you to
right,
tweet
he wants
him.
The benefits. Friends yeah. with benefits.
He doesn't want to see Fire Spo after going 1-2. I think he's trying, you know, he's walking a line here.
So then he tweeted out, follow Mark Hochman. I retweeted that and wrote, I wrote, this is only because Ira had me muted and I just found out and blah, blah, blah. And Mike Cugno responded with, wait, we can mute you?
You better text Cugno from now on. That Twitter's curtains. Oh, Ira, muting people.
Man.
Sure, you got me muted.
Talk about taking a blow across the chin.
Yeah.
Might be just a muter. What if he just, you know, he doesn't really like a lot of traffic?
I'm not a lot of traffic. I'm a friend.
But as a Twitterer, you are trafficky.
I mean, does he have KZ Akpala muted?
I would.
Here's the thing, though, Crowder. Ira only follows 155 people on Twitter. That means his timeline is a ghost town. Like, there's probably almost never tweets popping up. 80% of those are NBA players who rarely tweet. It's very possible, Hawk, that his timeline was filled with your nonsense a lot, more sure, than he would sure. like. It is very sure. possible.
But that gives him a little bit of fullness, a little bit of more well-roundedness in his life. So what I told Jake was, you should take, I told him privately, take your dad's phone, have him subscribe to be one of my super followers, because he's not going to know how to undo it. He's not going to know where it comes from. And he is going to go rip roaring crazy over a $2.99 charge that pops up every month. Because you know, he knows to the dime where everything is going. I said, Jake, super follow me off his account.
This is why he mutes you.
By the way, Hawk, Mike Cugno, he was on with Larry Bluestein and Joe Z and Hurricane Hotline on Monday. So I texted him, wow, on Hurricane Hotline and Larry Bluestein, busy night. And he responded, they don't put my career in jeopardy every week.
Everybody needs a little spice in their life. You can't go through life without taking some risks.
A spice.
Anyway, welcome to all the new listeners who may have found me through the Ira Winderman tweet. My advice tonight is Bam Adebayo, over 15 and a half points.
All right, guys. I like that. Heat game tonight.
I got the over already in.
On Bam?
On the total of the team. On 208. The total? It's the lowest.
I have the Bam over in.
Lowest in the league this year, because I think they're still saying the Heat doesn't want – they play good defense and don't score. I think they're going over 208.
No, that's not why. It's because both the Heat and the Magic had top 10 defenses last year. Both teams struggled to score last year, sure, but the Magic had the second or third best defense. The Heat had like the fourth or fifth best defense. So that's why it would be the lowest total in the NBA today, Crowder.
Hey, Reverend Solana, I'm doing it because I think they're going to score points.
Okay. I'm not telling you it's a bad bet, but it has more to do with the Magic than it does the Heat.
I don't like bean pies.
Brother. The Heat play tonight, 7:30 p.m. Pat Riley will be honored at halftime. And those are your headlines, gentlemen. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows, they'll drop into the low 70s. That is your weather.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Mamacita, mamacita, que bonita, mamacita.
Hawk and Crowder.
Let's have a little fun here, because before you joined us today, Crowder, we talked a lot of Dolphins. We've talked some Heat. I've gotten annoyed by Ira. But let's have a little fun here, because yesterday we forgot to play the Don Bailey Jr. calls. We usually do that on Tuesdays. He worked in a couple of calls in the Louisville game. I have not yet heard these. Neither have you. We're going to hear them together for the first time. One of the lines that we gave him was a famous Dean Martin song, That's Amore. Here's what we gave him.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Classic song. Let's hear how DBJ worked it into the Canes broadcast.
Second time Miami's been deep in Louisville territory. Ward stands tall in the pocket. Scanning, scanning. There's to his left. Still looking. Let it fly toward the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown. What a play. What a throw. A gem of a play. 28 yards from Cam Ward to Jacoby George in the back of the end zone. And that was simply astonishing.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Well, that was amore for sure. What a throw, reflective of what Cam Ward did against the Florida Gators.
That's exactly how I envisioned them.
Yes.
Like, that was true to the song. He didn't, you know, give some sort of hoo-ha at the end to, like, he just let it sit there and let Josie take it from there.
That was perfectly constructed.
That was excellent. Yes. The other one that he did for us, we gave him an Eminem line. He did not do that one, but we gave him a Steve Miller Band line from the song The Joker. We had been making fun of how bad the movie The Joker, the sequel, was. And so we gave him this from Steve Miller Band.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love.
He said he'd probably end it there.
Some people call me Maurice.
We were hanging out for this.
Oh, the pompatus of love.
Let's hear what Don Bailey Jr. did during the broadcast.
Ball at the Louisville 6 between the hash marks. Ward takes. He looks. He stands. He fires. It is caught.
Yes, it is.
Restrepo. Touchdown, Miami. Just inside the pylon. Right side of the end zone. And it's Restrepo's moment in the sunshine.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some people call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. Because I speak of the pompousness of love. You remember that one, don't you, Joe?
I do, Steve Miller, but I think he needed a little more for that touchdown, a little more, like, inflection in that one.
Like, some people call me Maurice.
I know you want to be called Maurice.
Look at that. Joe was feeling it, too, on Saturday. Joe was feeling it, too.
Even Jay thought he was talking about how you said Maurice. Some people call me Maurice.
Those were two good ones, man. Those were good. So this Saturday, it's FSU, obviously. We'll give him some lines to work in, although he'll join us tomorrow. He let us know it's his dad, Don Bailey Sr., made famous by the billboards all over Miami in the 70s.
Yes.
Don Bailey Sr. turns 91 this week.
Ooh.
And he said, I would like for you to give me some lines from songs from my dad's era.
We've done this before.
Yeah. So I gotta research like Mac the Knife and that kind of stuff.
Cool. But just go back and look what you were listening to in high school.
I guess. I like that. You think that's funny, Jimmy, huh? Are you laughing there? I didn't think it was that funny.
Man, what is that? That's music from the 40s?
If you're 91 years old, and it's 2024 right now.
Born in 1530. 15? I was like,
never. It's why I can't play craps. I'm just not good at math.
Like 1930?
Think that 30? 30.
If he's 91, he was probably born in like 1932, 1933, something like
so
that.
So he's in high school. He started listening to music.
But then the music was in the 40s, 40s and 50s.
40s and 50s.
Yeah. Like Elvis.
Yeah, like a little Rock Around the Clock from Bill Haley and the Comets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think my people had radios back then. I'm pretty sure we didn't.
Well, we'll learn something together tomorrow when we play the hits of 1945. Anyway, DBJ will join us tomorrow, and Gino Toretta will join us tomorrow. We'll get back into that Canes FSU week thing. So in the 4 o'clock hour coming up today, Rob Pizzola is going to join us from Canada. We'll get some winners for this weekend, hopefully.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Let me ride that donkey, donkey. Let me rock that donkey, donkey. Let me ride that donkey, donkey. Let me rock that donkey, donkey. Please, please.
Hawk and Crowder.